But the interesting thing about potentiality, which is obviously real, is that you cannot directly measure it, you cannot directly cognize it. If I cut you up right now, I wouldn't find any abilities. Okay? What would I find? I'd find a nervous system. I would find skeletal system. And on the basis of my scientific understanding of human animal physiology, I would say that, I would infer that someone with this skeletal system, this nervous system, has the ability to stand up. There's no defect here that would prevent it. But the ability, the potentiality, is not something that I could ever directly cognize, that I could directly measure. This is maybe the most important facet of Aristotle's physics. Because Aristotle's saying the very starting point of understanding nature, one of the starting points, is a principle that's not available to sense perception. It's not available to measurement. All you could measure with any instrument you like, no matter how good the instrument is, Aristotle didn't know about electron microscopes, it doesn't matter. Electron microscopes can't measure your abilities. One of the fundamental principles of change is something that you can't measure, something you can't see, something it isn't available to you empirically. So right at the core of science, the starting point of science, literally the starting point of scientific understanding, is a principle which is not empirically available. So much for radical empiricism. If by radical empiricism you just mean the ability to predict, or the predicting about things, or the inductive generalizations about things and attributes, that's fine. But if by science you mean understanding, then empiricism is not an option. Because what's understandable is not empirically available. At least insofar as we're talking about potentiality. Insofar as we're talking about, and there is another synonym, potentiality or matter. But potentiality is another term, of course, for matter. Matter, as Aristotle says, is only knowable by analogy. So chapter 6 here in book 1. How many of you put a question mark next to that? Matter is only knowable by analogy. And she says that 191A9. The nature that a subject is knowable by analogy. Matter. Anybody understood what I mean? Seems to me there's two options. You understand it, great. You don't understand it, you put a question mark. I don't get a third option. Doesn't compute. So, anybody understood what it means to say matter or the underlying subject is knowable by analogy? What is that? What is an analogy? What is an analogy? Anybody know? Anybody have access to a dictionary? Well, now they're extremely rare, it's very difficult to come by. Has anybody heard of anybody else who has a dictionary?
An analogy.
Okay. For example, I'm taller. I'm shorter than you. Is that an analogy?
No.
So it's not comparison.
Well, it is, but it's how the comparison is worded. So, like, if I were a fast runner, I would say, some of my remarks,
what's an analogy?
Experience says an analogy is a partial likeness between things.
Well, you need a better dictionary. Actually, you need a better high school education. What's a proportionality? What's a proportion?
Part of something?
No. I mean, your head's a part of you, that's not a proportion. What's a proportion?
The relation?
What kind of relation? You have a system, that's not a proportion. What's a proportion?
A ratio.
How many of you here have done any kind of math? What's a proportion?
A ratio.
Fine, not between two things. Between two numbers. Okay. So there's a proportional ratio. Fine. What's a proportionality? What's the general proportion? Should be like 37, right? What's a proportionality as opposed to a proportion? What if I say is a ratio of ratios. Right, remember this from geometry, from algebra, from grade 7, from adding and subtracting is the proportionality. Right, 3 is to 4, is 9 is to 12. Right? And you prove this by multiplying, right, the divisor by the numerator, right, and after the same letter proportion. Right, you prove it out. This is called a proper proportionality, meaning that it's exact. Right? This is exactly true, we can prove this. Okay? Here we go. An improper proportionality is an analogy. An improper proportionality is one that is not there. Can anyone give me an example of an improper proportionality? Before you got here this morning, I would be willing to bet that you would use language which implies improper proportionality, maybe 50 times. This isn't rare, this is necessary. What if I say to you, a lion is the king of the beasts? What am I doing?
Comparing the lion to all the other animals and the analogy is
a lion is to the other animals as a king is to a subject. Right. You call that a metaphor. Right. If I say she is a rose, speaking metaphorical. Most of our language is metaphor to dead metaphor. And we don't have time to talk about metaphor and extend so. But metaphors are analogies. And there are improper proportionality. This is a proper proportionality. Metaphor is an improper proportionality. Now Aristotle is saying that you can only understand matter, underlying subject, potentiality, by analogy. Just as the leaf is to the green, so you are to your being seated. So there's an analogous relationship of you as an underlying subject and the attribute that you have. Or I should say the attribute of the underlying subject. And the attribute that the leaf has and the leaf. And for anything else that is for matter. Anything else that is the subject qualified as having the attribute that it has in relation to the change that it undergoes. And the only way to understand the matter is analogously. That is, you understand your relationship between the subject and the attribute that it has. The contrast here is between understanding it or cognizing it directly. You can't see matter. Matter isn't what contemporary scientists mean by matter. You can't measure matter. Right? There is no instrument that enables you to determine the matter of something. Now, of course, you could measure somebody's body. You know all sorts of measurements on the body.